Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Con. Why is that funny? Why is it just me saying hello?
It's very dainty. It's very, very, demure.
Demure.
Opening, yes.
Very seductive. Hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, and that man I'm joined by is Damon McDonald. It is the Sunday, the 9th of March, 2025. This is episode 352. Damon, how the devil are you?
Well, we're good. It's been a while. It's been a while. I had a little family emergency for a scheduled Pottercast. Listen, we have wonderful resources, number one, and then Joel, you do a great job as well. So we were in good hands for that New Japan Cup preview, and then it was just like, it felt like there was like an avalanche of New Japan shows all of a sudden. It was like feast or famine. And like, we're recording, this might be the first time we've ever recorded on a weekend. Might be the first time ever.
We used to do that a lot. I remember
really?
In China, when I lived there, Sunday nights for me seemed to be our usual recording time.
Okay.
But then we realized it didn't really fit with the way that New Japan broadcast their show, so we changed it, and now we don't know when we record anymore. Whenever the bloody hell we feel like it.
It really is. We used to be pretty consistent with a specific day, and then that kind of whittled down to, all right, you got time. That's the hardest part about sometimes doing this, is just making sure everyone's schedules together and there's shows, and we had no choice but to record today, really, it felt like. This show will have a shelf life of about 15 seconds with New Japan Cup going on, but we had to draw a line in the sand somewhere and talk about some of this shit because the backlog is humongous. So,
we picked a good time to do it because the next show is on Tuesday.
Right.
So people have got a whole day to listen to and enjoy the show. Right. And of course, if you're a $10 subscriber, then you get to listen to this live or as close to live as you like, really. That YouTube broadcast will stay up there so you can listen to it at your leisure. And also, if you're a $10 subscriber, you would have heard bonus audio that I dropped reviewing the final night of Fantastica Mania, and then another bonus audio reviewing the anniversary show. So if you want detailed thoughts on those from me, then get your fucking wallet out. It's a work in progress because it is quite tricky doing solo audio, but I quite like doing it. I quite like having the freedom and the flexibility to just put the kids to bed, feel like talking about something, just crack on.
Yeah. Yeah, there is it is a wide open net, if you will. You have no goalkeeper. which again can be completely liberating and you just kind of go with your thoughts and roll with it. But then on the other hand, it's like, that's an awfully big net. do I have enough to talk about? Can I talk about a subject for that long? and have it be somewhat entertaining. But you always do a great job. So
I think the sweet spot is like 45 minutes. Yeah. I wouldn't want to go longer than that, because also the fact that it's just me talking, it's quite hard work on the throat, because when you're doing a podcast with two or more people, you're not talking all the time. So there's that, the fact that I am talking constantly for the best part of an hour, which people don't tend to do that. No one really talks for that amount of time continuously. And also, I think not being scared about leaving a little silence. You don't need to fill every second with talking. I think it's okay to leave a few seconds for me to sort of gather my thoughts and think about what I'm going to say next. And another thing that I like doing about it is I like editing in my own intro and outro music from my massive database of computer game music. So I've been enjoying that too.
Oh, I hear little ones coughing. Are they rolling out of bed?
No, it's just being selfish as usual, ruining the broadcast. What I've decided to do in terms of muting is if there is bad sounds that I don't want on the podcast, I'm going to mute it from Zencaster. But I can't do it from the YouTube broadcast. So YouTube people, because they're paying the big bucks, they want to hear all these sounds.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting the money for. But for the nice edited podcast that's going to go out at a later date, then we'll cut out all the interesting background sounds for them.
I had a dream, funny enough, that we were – I don't want to say that it was a – pub somewhere in England, but it was that, like, it fit that motif, like you, like the inside of a pub somewhere, and we were retiring and there was a party that was being thrown and actual people showed up for this show. That was the shocking part of the stream. People showed up for this and it was your two children taking over the show. They were taking over the show. They were taking over the show, but they didn't know anything about wrestling, let alone New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? So we were like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And like, they weren't older kids. They were younger, like, you know, your age now.
And
they were
a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old taking over the podcast.
And they were crying because they were like, Daddy, I don't know what I'm doing. And we're like, you're going to be fine. You just get on there and just talk bullshit. You're going to be great. And that was it. That was the dream. I swear.
That's good. It's very symbolic. I don't care to unpick that and figure out what it means, but it's a good dream.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Excellent. Let's. When you want to jump into it, or do you take us where we need to go?
Yeah. Do you want to do a bit of foreplay? I know you're quite agitated about a hockey man who is going from one team to another team, and I also have a question for Hockey Damon about someone called Ovi.
Yeah.
So, would you want to talk about the bad hockey man or the good hockey man first?
Let's talk about the bad one first, because he is rat faced Brad Marchand, and I will say, again, for the longtime listeners here, you know how much I fucking loathe those Boston Bruins, because they seem to have those Toronto Maple Leafs number every fucking year. And the biggest agitator, I'm trying to really think of a guy who would be the equivalent that you would know. How about that guy? Ooh, that might be a good one. How about that guy? Who's the dude that played for, I want to say Suarez? He played for Man City. He scored that goal, I guess, and then he played for Liverpool, I want to say. But he's like, he was like a pest, like he was like a pest type player. That's Brad Marchand times 12 probably, and he's just one of those guys that if he's on your team, you probably like him, but if he's on anybody else, you know, if you're playing him, you're just like, that motherfucking rat. And a shocking move. Friday was the NHL trade deadline, where you cannot make moves, trades, after this date at 3 p.m. Eastern. He got moved, which was pretty amazing. They couldn't come to a contract agreement, apparently. They were miles apart on money. He traded his ass. I was like, what the fuck? I never thought I would see that. But he's a rat face anyway, so I'm glad to see the Boston Bruins falling apart at the seams. They stink on ice. Thank you. And then the good one, Ovi. Who wants to know about Ovi?
So it's from our Discord. Puyo Rico says, question for Hockey Damon. If Ovi breaks the goal scoring record this year, is he the best player ever? Mind you, he had two lockouts and a global pandemic getting his way. Or is prime Gretzky that good?
So Ovi is Alexander Ovechkin. And I never thought I would see the day here, but you've heard of Wayne Gretzky, right, Joel? You know if I say the name Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
Okay. He has had this record of most goals scored by any NHL player for the longest time, right? Years. He retired like when I got married. Let's put it that way. So that's how long he's been retired, let alone played in like the 80s and all. And Ovi is about ready to break his goal scoring record. I think he's like 9 away. And they're and the Washington Capitals are playing as we speak. So there's potential to even shave that down further. So there's a very good chance it'll happen this year. Very good chance. And if it doesn't happen this year, which I can't imagine it not, it'll happen next year. So it's going to happen. He's old, Joel. And this year he started out so red hot that it was he was on pace for his best year that he's ever played, scoring goals. And it was just like, what the fuck? Like, we knew he had a chance for this in the next couple of years, but nobody expected this. Then he breaks his shin, his fibula, if I'm not mistaken. But then he like 4 weeks later, he's back on the ice. He's a beast. He's just a fucking beast. One of my favorite players, actually. Is he the greatest of all time? No. I think he's the greatest goal scorer of all time at that point. I mean, the numbers don't lie. And he's just, like, he scores silly goals. Like, just, he scored some of the fucking wildest goals ever. Like, you're just like, how does a human being do that? And, like, he's speed and he can hit. Like, he's built like a tank. Joel, if you look at a hockey rink, you know, if I talk about, like, you have your net and then you have like two circles that are on the left and right side.
Oh, it's getting a bit technical for me, David.
I know. But if you look at if you picture a hockey rink in your head, he scores goals from one of those face-off circles, they're called. The percentage of goals that he scores in this one spot, and everyone knows it. Like, everyone knows, oh, that's Ovi's spot, that's Ovi's office or whatever. Still scores. You can put 17 guys on the ice and put them all in that same location. He's still going to score. He's just fucking amazing. So, yes, goal scorer, I would say. Maybe not the best hockey player ever. He does play defensively. He plays a strong game. He's in the top 10, more than that. He's probably top 5. Probably top 5 all time. I think we're going to see history this year. It's fun. I never thought I would see the day, to be honest with you. And Gretzky... Prime Gretzky. The problem with the tier of, and I'm sure you could probably say the same thing about English Premier League soccer, is in the 80s, the level of, okay, you have your great elite players, and then you just have just a pile of dog shit. Right? You know what I mean? Like, guys that probably would never make the league now. And that's, somebody dropped the pot. That's kind of how I feel like the 80s. But he was so dominant. He was just dominant. Like, there was no one that could, like, see a play develop like him. And just silly numbers he was putting up. But again, I don't know how that would equate to now. Because even though the league does have a lot of bottom feeders in it, I feel like the 80s, like if you compare the 80s fourth line and third liners to today's fourth and third liners, I think the fourth and third liners would probably blow the roof off of a lot of teams. But the Oilers at that time were so fucking dominant. All right, thanks for joining us for Hockey Talk, brought to you by Boots and by, fuck me, O2. I'm thinking of London things. That's what I'm thinking of. London.
David, do you celebrate Pancake Day in the States?
I think every Sunday we do. I don't think anybody goes out of their way to celebrate Pancake Day. Why? You have pancakes over there, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's a special day, Shrove Tuesday. It's like the first Tuesday in March, I think, and I think the story behind it would be a day when you use up all the ingredients in your larder because they were it would be before Lent, so you want to use everything up before Lent.
Okay.
So, that was in the olden days, but now, sort of as a hang off from that, we still have pancakes on Shrove Tuesday. And Minty wrote in and said, "What did you have on your pancakes this year?" But we forgot to have pancakes.
Oh.
I bought pancake mix, and I've still got it somewhere, but I've not made the pancakes yet. If I am to make the pancakes, I like a savoury pancake. I like sort of a French style galette with cheese and ham. Had a fried egg. That's,
that's not a pancake. I hate to say it. That's not a pancake at that point. You've ruined a pancake. It's not a pancake.
Okay, what should it have on it?
Listen, we
like a McDonald's pancake. Butter and maple syrup. That's always a...
Well, yes. Yes. That's your standard. I'm gonna blow your mind here. Do you ever put a little banana or a little blueberry?
Yeah.
Okay, good. How about a little bacon? So what you do is you make the pancake and you just plop a little strip of bacon in the middle of it. How about that? So you cut open your pancake and there's a wonderful bacon surprise in the middle. How dare you? How dare you give me the sign?
I agree. I've had bacon and pancakes, but I was throwing pillows at Mally because Esther is in... Mally's spot. She's sleeping on the bed next to me, and Mally's gone up on the bunk bed. So Mally's in Esther's bed, and she wanted me to throw some pillows. So that's why I was not able to respond immediately. But yeah, bacon and pancakes are very Yankoid, imbecile, coded behaviour. Yep. But I dig it. It's a good combination.
I don't like
what
the
I
sweet.
Like. So I've said the McDonald's ones, right? The sweet, yes, the sweet and the savoury. I don't know if you get this combination in the States, but the McDonald's breakfast where you get the pancakes with the sausage patty.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Love it. Love that. Used to have that a lot about, as a kid.
What is it about McDonald's that, quite honestly, probably nothing tastes like it should, but still tastes awesome? Like, if you got like pancakes and sausage anywhere else, it wouldn't taste that way. It's probably chemicals. That's probably the answer. But, yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't think there's anything on earth. And I'll die... on my fucking, I don't know what I'm dying on, but.
On your pancake. Die on your pancake.
Not on the pancake. I will say this.
Syrup spurting out of the wound.
I will say that an Egg McMuffin is the best fast food sandwich. Period.
Okay. I will see your Egg McMuffin and raise you sausage and Egg McMuffin.
I would go with traditional. I like the Canadian bacon, if you will. And I think that the consistency of it, too. Like, I could go to the McDonald's a town over, and it would be wonderful hangover food, wonderful breakfast sandwich on the go. And I could go to Alabama and have the same consistency. And I can go to Birmingham, England, and have the same thing consistent. And I could go to Tokyo and go to there and get an Egg McMuffin and consistently be great. Like, I just find that to be somewhat amazing and somewhat great. And again, I think the taste is perfect. It's a perfect size. Everything's perfect. And I'll go so far as to say this. McDonald's has the best hash browns. Hands
down. Yeah, I like a bit of a McDonald's hash brown, but they're a bit greasy for me. I don't like to eat an entire one because they make me feel bad afterwards.
Yeah, come on. You're not going there to feel good. Let's put it that way. I love them. I think they are the best. And I don't care where you go. I don't think anything beats the McDonald's hash brown. If you're going to get a hash brown, yeah, that's what you got to get. All right. There you go. Now I give you fast food. I give you hockey talk. Give you little fast food rankings. $10 tier, brothers. $10 tier. It's so great.
The tragic death of Osamu Nishimura, Damon. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, what the fuck happened there? I just recently heard of it. What's the latest on that? What exactly happened? Anybody know? Just old age?
I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure if they've done an autopsy yet. It wasn't
like an accident or
cancer.
Oh, Christ, really?
So I think cancer related.
Oh, Lordy Lou. I found out I mean, I didn't like go deep into it because I was on my phone somewhere. I forget where I was, but and I saw it and I was like, I think I bookmarked it. And I was like, oh, I gotta check this out. And you just reminded me of it. How long ago did the news break on that?
To look it up again.
I'm sorry. That's it wasn't today, though.
No, it was a week ago.
Oh, God. Okay. That's how far beyond I am. I hate to hear that. I feel like there's been a little bit of that. I know, again, as you get older, this happens more and more often. But it feels like, wow, there's been a couple that have been like, that's... Oh, good. Yeah.
Did you know he started a film in 2004?
No.
And the film was called The Calamari Wrestler.
No.
And the character he played in the film had cancer and used natural remedies to combat the illness.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, what a fucking chain of events there. Oof. Ugh.
But the cancer seemed to be quite a while ago. It was 1998. Oh, no. Okay. So that was a cancerous tumour in his retroperitoneal space. And then in March last year, he was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer.
Ooh. I mean, that's going to impact breathing.
And then he was in a coma in July.
Really?
Due to the cancer metastasizing to his brain, but he was able to recover.
Wow.
Then in October, he underwent a craniotomy, Jesus Christ, to remove a 4-centimeter-sized cancer that spread to his brain. Oh, man.
Come on. Don't tell me there's a God.
He had a bad year.
Oh, you kidding me? Oh, my Lord. That's really a fucking bummer, actually. Yeah, it's such a fuck. Unfortunately, I've seen people close in my life that have been affected by that. And it's just amazing how it just the problem is that the treatment is none better. Like, it's just, it just drains the life out of you. And you just,
This is a bummer. Stop talking about that. Tell me some good wrestling memories.
I know, Joe. You brought everybody down. And it's just so terrible news. I hate, God. Why can't there, never mind. I'm going to get into my anti-healthcare fucking rant.
No, don't do that. Wrestling, please. Talk about wrestling memories with us on the show. Right. What was the best match he was in? What was your favorite? When you... If you had talking to someone hypothetically, not me, but if you were talking to someone who had not really familiar with him, and you wanted to summarize him in a nutshell and something memorable that he took part in that they could go away and watch, what would it be?
I'm going to be clear on this, and I don't want to be disrespectful. I mean, it was never really one of my favorites. Let's put it that way. I know.
Fucking watch is going off again. I turned it off. I put it on silent mode.
Oh,
I put it on do not disturb mode.
It's disturbing.
Disturbing. Yeah.
It's disturbing me.
I'm disturbed.
Let's see here.
I'll tell you what my favorite match of his was.
Go ahead.
It was the tag match with when he teamed up with Manabu Nakanishi against Tenzan and Chono.
Okay.
That was in 2002.
I remember him. So right around the time that I was involved as much as I was in the pro wrestling, he was doing tours all around. Like, he was involved in, so back in the day, Dennis Carluzzo, who was like the local NWA promoter in this area, like the Philly, kind of Maryland, New Jersey area, he might have been the biggest NWA affiliate, we'll call it, right? And I'm sure maybe somebody could might say, well, no, Howard Brody was in Carolinas or whatever. But okay, just stay with me here. The one thing I do remember is Dennis bringing him in for, I want to say, two or three shows. So I met him, but didn't actually, like it was just like the handshake locker room thing. And he was involved with, if I'm not mistaken, the NWA tournament that wound up with Shane Douglas winning and then him throwing that fucking title in the trash can and screwing over Dennis and turning it into ECW. That's probably my biggest memory of him. And it's not like anything that was like revolutionary, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't anything like, oh, we wrestled him and we went 30 minutes and I don't know, it was just a locker room handshake basically. Yeah, but he was fine. I if I'm not mistaken, he was there and I think Tiger Hattori was there as well. I'm really trying to rack my brain. What do I remember him New Japan wise? Like what's my first, I don't know. I remember when Kensuke Sasaki was like IWGP world champion. And I remember him challenging a couple times, but
Is this rubbish? Is this bad audio? Should we just move on?
No.
I don't want to be disrespectful to the memory of Osamu Nishimura,
but he,
I don't feel we're doing him justice here.
But the problem is that, like, I know that we're looking for like greatest moments and greatest matches.
He wasn't that kind of guy.
He wasn't that kind of guy. You know what I mean?
That's fair enough. That's
and okay. I will say this as well. Like, I feel like. He's had cancer and has battled cancer for the longest time. I could have sworn in like the 90s
the late 90s. And I think that is the most remarkable thing about him.
Right. Yeah.
Overcoming adversity again and again and again. And let's use that as an inspiration for all of us.
Okay. What are we doing over there?
Tunes going?
Yeah. Tunes. Yeah. Some background music in memoriam. Osamu Nishimura, rest in peace. Okay.
I think if we left it at that, that would be perfect. Right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Melly one, can you not, please?
Accident.
Thank you, my darling.
Right, let's move on to talking about the New Japan Cup then. And Andrew says, so he's been looking at Chris Amsa's Sport of Pro Wrestling entries to see how his scores were doing. I don't know how you are doing in it, Damon, but I don't care. What I do care about is Andrew's question, which is, can Damon narrow down who this entrant in Chris Amsa's pick-ems might be? Please look at your WhatsApp and
all right.
What do you know about this entry?
Okay. Oh, boy, this should be great. Save this for later, he says. Okay, I got that. I see. Okay, we got to save that for later. Okay. Wow.
So in 181st place with 14 points is I ate Damon McDonald's ass.
Wow.
Who is that? Who is eating your ass and that would have entered New Japan Cup Pick'ems?
You know who it was? I don't know this for sure, but this is going to be my guess. Remember the rant I went on the hockey guy who made fun of Austin Matthews or something like that? He likes to bust my balls about, I think I may have said, you can eat my ass or some shit like that, some nonsense. So I'm going to guess him. Am I right?
I don't know. I can't see it.
It's either him. Or it's Hiroshi Tanahashi. Like, it can only be either one of those two. Those are the only ones that would make sense to me. Wow.
Do you want to do a quick fuck, marry, kill? So Troy says, fuck, marry, kill, Kojima Wato Honma edition, where they're dressed up as ladies.
Oh, that's the picture you sent me, right?
Yeah.
Wow, this picture is unbelievable. They all look like, dare I say, Karens. Like, they do look like people who want to see the manager. Wow, Wato is like your second grade teacher, right? You know what I mean? Like he's got the school teacher dress on and the white cardigan, you know, and the bob cut. Yeah. And oh my God, I'm getting
good Mummy Dom vibes from Kojima, Mummy Kojima.
Oh yeah.
I'll be down with that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, On the far left of the picture, Jushin Liger looks unbelievably great. That's not Jushin Liger. That's crazy. Honma looks like Honma would. Like, if you picture Honma in drag, like, that's literally what you got. I think Master Watto, no surprise to anyone, has won the Karen Award, hands down. He's got it. He's got the second grade two, whatever you want to call it, teacher down pat. Well done. That's good shit right there.
Right, man. Let's get to talking about the New Japan Cup. I'm moving things on. Let's go to today's show, which was Sunday, March the 9th in Hyogo. And I'm not, unless you really want to, do you want to talk about the special tag match or should we just do the cup matches?
Cup matches, please. Cup matches.
Okay, so eighth match, New Japan Cup first round, Tetsuya Naito defeating Callum Newman, 11 minutes, 7 seconds with an inside cradle. And this was surprising to a lot of people. I think many of us, myself included, thought this was going to be the time that Callum Newman would overcome the Naito hurdle because he's lost to him a couple of times before. And I thought that would be a way for him to sort of solidify his place within the sort of top 20 New Japan heavyweights so they can, you know, pop him back in G1 this year, yada, yada, yada. But not only did he lose, I don't know, it wasn't that impressive.
No.
I was more impressed with Naito than I was with Newman. Finish was great. That inside cradle, smooth as silk. So, hell yeah, Naito's back. Back to his best. Peak Naito is back
on the rest. But
Newman, how are we feeling on Callum Newman? Because I was a bit disappointed by this.
Yeah, I don't know if that one match will speak volumes about what we can expect from him in the future. Yeah, it was a little bit underwhelming, and maybe. Look, I don't want to sit here and say, like, when you learn that you're not going over, when you might in your head have some fucking thoughts that you are going over, and I'm not saying anybody dogged it or anything, but maybe you have that in your head of, I'm going to put over a guy who really doesn't need to be put over. I thought this match was kind of not that great, Joel, to be honest with you. In this match, how I would have it kind of mapped out in my head, like if I'm fantasy, not even booking it, but just kind of like if I were to say, okay, these two guys are in the ring, how would this thing go? To me, it would be Callum kind of taking those crazy bumps and doing some stuff to kind of showcase him. And I don't think he did himself any favors.
No, there's nothing that seems sort of special or unique about him. Like, yeah, he can run the ropes in a way that looks like it should be fast, but he's getting lapped by a lot of people around the same age as him.
Well, yeah.
Actually, that's not fair. He's still quite young. He's got time on his side, but
plenty of time.
Not really doing enough for me to stand out.
No. And I don't know if that is a directive from whomever is deciding the path of New Japan Pro Wrestling, whatever committee you want to believe. I don't know. There was nothing here where I could be like, okay, let's hang our hat on him to, you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, that he's going to be one of those guys. I know we love to fucking point and somewhat, you know, kind of, I don't want to say snicker, but, you know, it's like, you know, Naito being Naito. Joel, what?
We were too quick to write him off, and I think we all need to apologize to Tetsuya Naito.
I have not erased him from an off book. He's still firmly penciled in there. I did not think he looked good at all. Do you think he looked good?
No, but he didn't balls up the finish, so we have to throw flowers out for that.
Right, but the two other Destinos that he tried, that TJP and Walker were like, oh, he hit the Destino. Ooh. And right, and TJP, well, he didn't quite get all of it. He got none of it. They rolled on the ring. It was terrible. I for God's sake, why does he continue to do it? Why does he continue to do it, Joel? Help me understand. Is it because of the
idea? It's funny. He gets personal enjoyment out of seeing idiots like us losing our minds over it and having to have a post-mortem over every botched Destino. He's doing it on purpose at this point because he thinks it's funny.
I mean, okay. If that's what it is, then fine. I'm in on the gag then. I just don't understand at all why he would put himself in that.
Increasingly more elaborate ways to bollocks it up.
Come on. I mean, to me, I don't want to say that. All right, let's do this. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot. What was the last great Naito match?
Great. Probably the G1 final with Okada when he won the G1.
I mean, that's a while ago, right? While ago. Can we just start
the Zach match where he lost the title to him at King of Pro Wrestling?
Okay,
I don't know if I could call that great though. Very good, but
very good,
great.
I don't know.
Not like a match of the year caliber.
No, yeah. I mean, okay. So with that being said, what is the logic behind him moving on? To you, I mean, aside from him being a name,
it's a draw tickets.
Okay, I mean, that's what this is at this point, right? It's not even.
Would you rather see you as a paying customer? Would you rather be watching Jeff Cobb versus Callum Newman or Jeff Cobb versus Tetsuya Naito?
You want the honest answer?
Yeah,
Callum Newman.
Okay. Well, in that case, my argument's fallen apart. I got nothing.
No, but I guess my point, no, I mean, like, aside from a cool entrance still, like, what are you getting? Because once the bell rings, I'm kind of like, whoa, what are we doing?
It was the expression in his eyes as he was standing outside the ring.
Uh-huh.
He just looked haunted, troubled. He looked like he had post-traumatic stress disorder. He just looks like that. I don't know.
I mean, I hate the fact that they keep carting him out. I hate the fact that they keep carting him out and making him go on. And I'm sure that, like,
forcing him to have matches against his will.
Right. He's an indentured servant at this point. I when he got the three, I vividly remember from this morning thinking, why are they making him do this? Why are they making him do this? It didn't make any sense. He is truly one of the greatest New Japan pro wrestlers of our generation. I don't think we can deny that. But right now, I don't want to see him in the ring. I really don't. And it pains me to see just that. And I don't feel good with that. So, no, okay. I'm sorry. I think
feel good watching Driller Maloney beating Tomohiro Ishii in 14 minutes and 6 seconds via the Driller Killer?
I will say this. I didn't for 10 minutes of it. I thought the last 5 were really good.
Yeah, it was. This whole show was just low energy, bad crowd, boring show, boring matches. This one should have been way better than it was. And it got good by the end, but yeah, most of it was bad.
Thank you. You want to know the truth? Going into recording today, I was like, man, am I just like a fucking curmudgeon? Like, am I just this old fucking guy yelling at clouds at this point? Like, am I just...
It was a crap show. It was not a good show.
Thank you. Good. Because I thought truly that I was like, wow, I feel like I'm not digging this and I'm... Like, if other people are coming to the table with, this was great, then
bad, right? There was nothing wrong with it, but it just wasn't as good as it should have been.
Correct. It was
good, but it needed to be more than that, I think.
Yeah, and again, I thought maybe, but it's not G1. That's the weird thing. It, like, it's not like, okay, well, we'll get them next night in, you know, in Kobe. You know, we'll get them, you know, next night in at Corrigan. It's you're one and done in this tournament. So I would think that, like, if you know you're one and done, you're kind of going to go a little bit more. 10 minutes in this match, and I'm just kind of like, wow, this is really at a snail's pace. And it picked up.
That's it, isn't it? Like, and for the previous match we talked about as well, if you know you are getting one match in this New Japan Cup and you're getting between 10 to 50 minutes to do it, you would want to see more.
I would think so. I mean, I don't know what I'm missing in that. And especially if you're a guy who's trying to establish himself and make a name for himself and do the thing. Now, again, it takes two to tango, right? So, you know, I'm not saying this was the case by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, maybe Big Tom was like, here's what we're doing, kid. You know, this is what we're doing tonight. So, I mean, which is always a possibility. I don't know. Again, the last 5 minutes gave me hope. Like, the last 5 minutes were like, okay, this is getting juicy. Like, this is getting good. Did I love the idea of big superplex off the top? Boop, kick out at one. And then what was it? The clothesline, you know, the guy sitting down, clothesline from Ishii. Kick out at one. And I'm like, all right. You know, enough with the kickouts at one. It's not. The kick out at one might be the most overplayed.
Yeah, we need a moratorium on that for like a year.
Yep. It's 1,000%, right? And then, you know, he turns that right into, and again, maybe we're trying to say, oh, he's tough as nails and he could absorb all this punishment and boom, and then out of nowhere he can get a big win. And that, what is it? The driller killer, is it called? The pile driver? That is a sweet fucking looking move. Like, that is just, it looks like it will snap somebody's neck in half. I don't know. And when we keep talking about driller, and it's like, we're not quite there yet. I don't know if we're there yet with him yet. There's been too many times where it's like, all right, you know, this was good, but give him time, you know, okay. I don't know. Something's not connecting with me. I just feel like.
Yeah, he's slightly slower and slightly less impactful than a guy of his size you would want to be.
Yeah.
To be like a tippy top, to, you know, to hang on that level in New Japan. He's not got that top tier dynamism and crispness.
Yeah, he's got NXT like written all over him.
Clunky. Yeah.
He really does. And I'm not saying that as a knock. Like, he looks professional. He looks like a fucking, like, he belongs in the ring. I just don't know how he can hang with top flight guys. Because I haven't seen it yet. Again, the last 5 minutes, it was pretty good. That 10 minutes, though, whew, I was like, oh my God, watching paint fucking dry. But
I don't want to be to do the sort of grandiose predictions early on with imperfect information, but I do feel that he might be better off as the hot tag in a tag team rather than pushed as a singles guy.
Yeah.
I've just not seen the evidence from him as a singles wrestler yet.
1,000%.
And he's wrestling some pretty high-end talent, but yeah, we'll see.
Yep. I can't agree more. Right now, he's not. I'm moving us on.
Sixth match then, New Japan Cup first round was Great Okan defeating El Phantasmo in 30 minutes, 58 seconds, Eliminator. This was boring as well. I didn't like this one either.
Thank you.
There's just nothing there. What was my favorite moment of the match? I watched it this morning. Can't remember anything from it.
The funniest part.
Like everyone was phoning it in.
Yeah, the funniest part is when EOP's got to take some babyface lessons, I think. Because EOP goes down the fucking aisle, right? And he's got his fake fur with his LEDs on, right? And he's got the glasses and he's got the TV, right? So he goes walking down to the ring and he spots some little kids and Well, first he finds like a fan with a sign, kisses the sign, hands it over. Oh, what a great move. Comes over, little kid's over, hands over the fucking the glasses, right? The little glasses. And then the little girl's standing there like, oh, he didn't give me anything. And now he's like, all right, well, here's the title. Hands over the title. And he's like, pretends to take a picture. And then he's like, well, give me back my glasses and title. These little kids. And I'm like, these kids are probably like, well, what the fuck? I thought I was getting the glam. What's happening? They don't know. I thought that was so, oh my God, I felt so bad at that point. That was a highlight of the match for me there, Rajul, to be quite honest. Also, how about hearing those, this is how bland this match was. How about the dueling chants between the little kids? Did you pick up on that? ELP, yeah. And then Ocon, great ELP, Ocon, ELP, going back for the entire fucking match. That's all you heard.
Okay, well, at least the kids enjoyed it.
That's right. At least they
nothing
did.
There, nothing happened.
No, Joel, what do we? Do we care about Great Ocon anymore? We don't, right?
Yeah, he was really good against Shota Umino. I think when he's sort of got his teeth sunk into something substantial that he feels passionate about, I think there's a lot of upside there.
He's going on.
I don't want to sort of throw too many guys under the bus because it is just the first round of the New Japan Cup. And to be the first round of the New Japan Cup in recent years has always been a bit
pretty mad.
So yeah. I don't want to overreact to this. It was just a poor show, crap crowd. I don't think maybe I suppose if I'm saying this about Grota Khan, then I should have that same energy for guys like Drilla Maloney and Callum Newman. But
yeah. It's these type of shows, though, that like you come off some hot shows and you're like, okay, we're back. And then you get these shows and you're like, again, not every show is going to be a fucking gem. And you're right. It's the first round of New Japan Cup. Relax. I get it. I don't know, man. Watching this, I was just like, whoo, there's a whole lot of fucking nothing going on. And I really thought, even on paper, that it would be 10 times better than what I saw.
How about Oleg Bolton defeating Bad Luck Fale, 7 minutes, 11 seconds, Kamikaze. I think I might have enjoyed this one the most out of all four of the cup matches.
Maybe you're right.
Even though it was probably the worst match out of the four from a technical standpoint. But I enjoyed the spectacle of seeing whether or not Oleg Bolton would be able to get Bad Luck Fale to take a bump. And I think he took 3 bumps in the end. The Kamikaze finish, very impressive, but he didn't do the thing where he does the gut wrench and swings him back and forth. Yeah. I don't think that was physically possible for him to do that. But, I mean, at least the right person won and it didn't go that long. So, shouldn't really complain. And the crowd popped when he hit the Kamikaze. So, yeah, not a great match. Not even a good match, but a match that served its purpose.
Yes. And you brought in Fale to be a monster, and so he could get the big win over a monster. I get it. Fale looked just fucking just terrible. Just like a mess. I was praying the poor guy didn't have fucking cardiac arrest in the ring. Just looked like a tub of shit. Sorry. But
why do they keep bringing him back? Can't they give,
I don't know,
whatever his role is now, give that to Hartley Jackson, please.
Well, I mean, he's losing in fucking tag matches. That was like, look, I get why, because here's why. Because of all the big guys, name me another big man, like a big man that would be like, okay, we're going to get over Bolton to the extent of we're going to show off his phenomenal strength and whatever.
Yeah.
Naming, like, you know, there's really not a lot of guys out there that are available that could happen. So you fly in fucking Fale, you know, give him the fucking favor.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get back to your show in just a minute. Do want to let you know about a brand new sponsor, though, we have on the network, NordVPN. NordVPN aims to make the internet a better place for everybody. You can free your internet from online threats, censorship, and surveillance, as well as access content that is not available in your region. And this was one of the great ways that I use NordVPN. With WWE moving all their content to another streaming service internationally, you can use NordVPN to switch your region and access everything that they have on that new service. Now, on the flip side, say you still want access to where WWE used to have their content, and maybe you live outside the United States. Well, hey, NordVPN again is there to help. It's not just wrestling, though. If there's a sporting event or a TV show that's unavailable where you live, do not worry. You can still watch it with NordVPN. Just switch your virtual location to a country that is showing it. Plus, NordVPN is a great way to protect your private data like bank details and passwords, especially when you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. One of the things that I love about NordVPN is that you can save money on flights, hotels, and subscriptions by virtually changing your location to a country with lower prices. As someone who travels a lot, you guys know vacations and all the other stuff. This is a tool that I use all the time to score better deals. Shop smarter with NordVPN. Come on, what are you doing? And don't worry about slow streaming either. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there, so no more buffering or lagging. It even has a threat protection feature that blocks viruses and phishing sites. Best of all, you can use one account on up to 10 devices, and it costs about the same as a cup of coffee each month. Now, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to our link, nordvpn.com/voice, which will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Again, it's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Best of all, there's no risk. Nord has a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy, use that right there, 30-day money-back guarantee. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. One more time, nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. And, of course, we want to thank NordVPN for sponsoring the podcast network. Now, back to your show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, move on. Let's go to the show from Corakun Hall on Saturday, March 8th. We'll, again, go from the top downwards. So, main event was Gabe Kidd defeating Rent Narita, 22 minutes, 16 seconds with a drill a hole pile driver. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here which, on paper, sounds bad, like House of Torture, shenanigans, and weapons, and ref bumps, and interference. But it all worked here. I thought it was good, and I thought it helped elevate Gabe Kidd. I thought the chemistry between them was good. I thought it was a very good, underrated performance from Ren Narita. And I think he managed to build up that heat really well in a way that Gabe Kidd took that ball, ran with it. Crowd absolutely loved this guy. He just feels like a nailed-on star, and him saying, standing in the ring saying, fuck AEW, just kills me a little bit, because we all know what's going to happen in the future, but I want to believe. Just give me like a couple of years to believe and enjoy that. But yeah, I fucking love this. I thought it was great.
What he does that so few pro wrestlers can do, what he does, and let's be clear here, he looks like a fucking, I mean, he's in shape, don't get me wrong, but he looks like fucking, you can go to any fucking pub anywhere in the world and be like, oh, there's Gabe Kidd, you know? He has this way about him where he grabs you by the throat and you're coming along for the ride as a fan. You know what I mean? Like, he's got that such chaotic, high energy that it's like, he comes out, he's grabbing you by the throat, and you're in for the ride. These fans, let me tell you something. There's very few people that can get a reaction like he gets. They are eating him up like he were a pancake, if you will. And he's consistent. Like, there's something about doing this in front of a hot crowd and getting that reaction and being like, "Woo, look at me, I'm super fucking over." He does it everywhere he goes, in every building, at every show. Like, one, let's be honest here. There's a lot of I saw a lot of fucking t-shirts so far this tour. A lot of fucking t-shirts, right? He's not wearing a fucking t-shirt on any. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take a night off. It's this way. I don't know. Does he sleep? You know what I mean? Like, how does he amp down to fall asleep? I thought this match was maybe my favorite of the tournament so far. It had, it had everything. I mean, it had the brawling you would expect in the crowd, in the hallway at Corican. And the same guy, it's funny, the same fucking guy that I always remember when I go there, you know, showing the ticket. And it's, I always seek out that one dude, and I don't know his name, but I seek out the one guy. And I don't know how he does. I mean, he might just be, maybe I still got like a fucking sore thumb there, but he always remembers. He always fucking remembers. And he'll walk me over to the seat because, you know, I can't read the fucking sign and the ticket and everything. He always does it. And everyone, like usually when I go over, you know, it's multiple shows that I'm seeing. So, you know, after like the second or third one, I kind of get the fucking drill. But he remember every time, and I saw him there, I was like, oh my God, the guy's still fucking working there. That's crazy. Anywho, yeah, they went in the crowd. Obviously, they went in the hallway. I didn't mind the interference either. I really didn't. I don't know. It worked.
What was very funny to me was the duality of Taiji Ishimori, who was earlier in the show interfering on behalf of Sanada and getting booed, trying to get the advantage over Yuya. But then about an hour later, he's interfering but helping gay kids, and everyone cheers him.
Do you think, okay, so you know how, you know, for years it's always been, ah, oh, House of Torture, ah, oh, they ruin it, oh, we don't want them at the top. And when you hear the chants and the booing and all that stuff, and is that them feeling like us, or is that them kind of getting into the spirit of boo the heels, cheer the faces?
I think it's the latter. I think they're getting into it.
Okay. And that's cool. I mean, either way, it's probably better, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. But there's plenty of that. Like the chance of go home, and I love it. I just find it amazing that how far he's come and how far he's and the leash that they give him too. Like it doesn't seem like he has much constraints on what he can do and what he can't do. I love it. I'm so happy for the dude. Like he's on top of the fucking world. And there's a big difference between being on top of the world and fumbling, and nah, he's taking advantage of it all and constantly raising his own bar, it feels like too. Yeah, this was my favorite so far. So, and it's no shock that it's Gabe, so good for him.
And then we had the sixth match, which was Yohei Oiwa defeating Chase Owens in 9 minutes 40 seconds with the arc clutch submission move.
Go ahead.
Right. Oh, no. Before I get into this, we've got a question from the Discord from Drow. He says, is it controversial to say Gabe Kidd right now is more popular with the Japanese fan base than Kenny was at any point in his run? Ooh. Now, I want to elaborate on that because this is not saying Gabe Kidd is better than Kenny Omega or has achieved more in New Japan than Kenny Omega did. I'm talking purely in terms of like a visceral crowd reaction of the Japanese crowd saying, fuck yeah, this is our guy. Has Gabe exceeded what Kenny did with that Japanese crowd?
That's a great question, actually. Not yet.
Because it feels like even then, when Kenny was at his most popular, the fans loved him, but it felt... even at that time, there was Okada, there was Naito, there was Tanahashi. Like people still had their guys, you know, the superstars of the company who they're more of an emotional connection with. Whereas now, it seems like the crowd are hungrier and desperate to latch on to guys, hitch their wagon to a guy to be like, yeah, this is my fucking guy. This is the future of New Japan. And it feels like there's a bit more like in that connection with the crowd.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I know. So for me, and I'm trying to take me out of it to answer the question. I think the number of Kenny fans were probably bigger, but I think the number, like the reaction, if to me, it feels like that's tough. That's a tough one. I'm going to say not yet. I think what Gabe is doing is he is connecting with the crowd better, but I think Kenny probably had more volume of a fan base, if that makes any sense.
Kenny, massive draw, and has got some great crowds, great houses, attendances to his name.
Right.
And Gabe hasn't got that yet.
No, but he's en route, and I will go so far as to say it feels like Gabe has had, like I said, he grabs them by the throat. And do you remember Kenny getting reactions like that? Aside from maybe winning the world title, right?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was asking myself. What is the biggest reaction that Kenny's got? And I say, even being there at Osaka Joe Hall when he finally won the title, it still felt that it was kind of split with the Okada fans.
Mm-hmm. And that way the dome too, if I'm being truthful. Like it felt that way too. And it was definitely more pro Okada, mind you. And I will say that Kenny probably had more Western fans than anything else. That's tough. I mean, again, the carryover from DDT. I'm going to say, to answer the question, it's a great question. And it's definitely something we could probably discuss for a good hour.
Well done, Drow, for the great question. It really is a brilliant question.
It is. But I'm going to go Kenny. But I think it's a little bit different. And I think that right now, Gabe has a more passionate and more I'm in for the ride kind of thing. I'm riding or dying with Gabe, as opposed to I'm a fan of Kenny and I'm going to cheer him, you know? I feel like there's more of a passion of this is a guy that we're going to hitch our wagon to, as opposed to I'm a fan of, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. All right, let's go to then Oiwa beating Chase Owens. B. France says, how much fatter can Chase Owens get? He looks like absolute shit here. And you are the man who is the most critical of guys turning up out of shape. So I want you to go to town on this enormous fat pig, Chase Owens. And it gets worse because Sanada, to add to one of his laundry list of crimes, has invited Chase Owens to the War Dogs. So Chase Owens is saying he's part of the War Dogs now. And I don't know what to do, Damon. I'm tearing my hair out here. Not only did he break the ring post the night before, with his,
he did not do that. How dare you?
His enormous bulk. Now,
terrible.
He's ruining the War Dogs with his presence. Just say nasty things about Chase Owens?
No, I didn't think he looked bad. I'm telling you the truth. Do you think he looked terrible? I mean, yes, he looked like he put on a couple pants. All right.
Yes, he looked horrendous. The match was horrendous. Okay. Like, it wasn't that bad, actually. I thought it was quite good. But
Wait till I show up with bags in my hand at your house. I hope you reinforce the fucking bed. He didn't look that bad. And I thought the match was pretty good. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you. I mean, it wasn't. It's not going to make any short list, but it exceeded my admittedly low expectations. I thought it worked over the arm quite well, and the way that the elbow played into the finish was very well done.
Absolutely. I thought he was I know people don't like him. I have no problem with him at all. I really don't. I don't have any problem with him. And just think, look at the later days on the tour. Let's watch some he motivates people to get in better shape, Joel. I don't know if you know. So watch everybody just fucking take off. No, I'm kidding, of course. People have to lose, and why not? You know, why not? Why not Chase? I don't know. Why not? I thought the match was fine. I thought the match was good. Has he had a couple donuts? I'm sure. Has he had a couple fucking extra slices of pizza? Of course. But I thought he did fine. I thought he did what he had to do, and
why does he get a pass? But then El Desperado, you're taking him to task for not being in peak physical condition,
right? Because Chase
I've got to
Owens
call out the inconsistencies.
All right, I'm going to share with you. Chase Owens gets booked once a year for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yeah, right, he's fair. On his couch watching fucking college football probably half the year. El Desperado, on the other hand, is your junior heavyweight
ace of the junior division.
Thank you. That's the difference. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Then we had King of Darkness, Evil, beating Yota Tsuji, 4 minutes 53 seconds, but there was a lot of brawling before that, and not really much of an upset. I think most people called it. Presumably this is going to segue into Evil challenging for the Global Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, we're all thrilled, right? Yeah, I know. Truth be told, even though you said that, I still was kind of like, wow, they really are going to do that, huh? I don't know. I thought, even though, like, if you listen to this show, and I'm sure if you follow the Discord, you know, and all the chatter there, I know that there were still a lot of people that were somewhat surprised with that. But yeah, I mean, New Japan Cup is not only about establishing someone who's going to be front and center spring and summer months. It's also establishing other titles, getting challengers and stuff like that. So, yeah, I know some people were a little bit noisy about why would he lose it? You know, well, again, we have a whole there is no off season in New Japan Pro Wrestling, so we need to continue with storylines and programs. And that was a prime example one.
And Yuya Uemura beat Sanada 50 minutes 48 seconds with a Superman pin.
And he How about had a that?
Big fluffy mohawk.
I love it. I think he looks good. I really do. I love it. I think he looks the part. He feels the part. He's in a hot faction. Maybe not as hot as it once was, but still one of the ones that pique a lot of interest. I think he's a guy. I really do. I can't tell you how I was just like impressed by, like, not only in ring but like just his presence. Like, he felt like a fucking guy more than sometimes I think a lot of the other ones. Like, he felt like a fucking, like a guy that you could hitch your wagon to. I would love to see him. And I'm hoping that as we go deeper in this tournament, he'll have the opportunities to do so. Maybe, maybe not. But man, that's one guy that I have circled like for this year, like to see him in like some really high profile, higher profile matches. Like, I'm going to really see what the fuck this kid's got. Cause I think he's a stud. I really do. I'm so high on him. Cause he's got everything. Now, can he deliver in the ring like big time? That's what I want to see this year from him. And if he does, oh my God, what a fucking boner I will have, because that kid is a stud.
Okay, there's just one other match from the show that I enjoyed, which is Katsuya Murashima against Daiki Nagai.
Boston Crab.
Murashima is aesthetically intrigues me. He looks like a weird, thick, muscular baby, and looks actually a lot like a young Sammo Hung. If you ever watched any of those sort of Jackie Chan films where it was him and Sammo Hung and Yuen Biao, they appeared in a lot of films together. He is the spitting image of young Sammo Hung. Look it up and compare that side by side with Katsuya Murashima.
It's there. I can see it. Yeah.
And I think that there could, just given his size, probably going to be a junior, but I could see him being a pretty cool power junior. Not many people talking about Murashima, but I've seen some stuff that I like from him. And Daiki Nagai, I feel he could be, I don't know if this analogy makes sense, it does in my brain, but he could be the Hiromu to Kosei Fujita's Kushida. So Fujita being the kind of babyface junior ace, I think Daiki Nagai could be a really good heel leading foil for him. I'm just picturing it now, sort of really good rivalry between the two of them, even though Fujita was his senior, so they're not exactly the same class, but I could see their two careers dovetailing nicely like that.
Yeah, he's got that pest about him, right?
Yes.
He reminds me a little bit of how fucking like little pest Otani was back in the day in the juniors. Like that's the kind of vibe I get from him. Where he could be that Brad Marchand, if you will. Just being a fucking
rat-faced fuck.
Yeah. Not even like House of Torture prick, but like I'm gonna make you lick the bottom of my fucking shoes prick. You know? That kind of bully, like the little fucking punk who's like a little yappy, but has some big friends behind him, but can also back it up when he's pushed against the wall. Like that's where I see them. Yeah. He's got that disposition about him as a young lion. And again, I always talk about like, I don't give a fuck about the Boston Crabs. I don't give a fuck about, oh, great hip toss. I don't give a fuck about the same spots that you see in every fucking junior match. I don't, that doesn't, it's okay. Does this guy have anything that you can sink your teeth into early? And again, that might change when he goes on excursion, blah, blah, blah. But does he have something, right? Does he have an aura? Does he have a presence? Does he connect with the crowd? And he does. He does. He's got that prick energy. I love it.
I would just like, before we talk about the anniversary show, to do a quick preview of what's coming up. Can we decide when you would next like to record? Because we've got a show on Tuesday, Wednesday, then there's a break on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There are a quartet of shows back to back.
Right.
Does it make sense then to do like Wednesday or Thursday? Is that doable?
Looking at my calendar, Thursday I am booked. Wednesday's probably the best, honestly.
All right. And I've got a lot of birthday stuff going on Wednesday, but I think I could do that.
Okay. Thursday I have a concert.
Let's cancel that in. All right. And then, in that case, let's preview what's the two shows from Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
First of all, no, not first of all. Let's go with Tuesday. So Tuesday, we've got some second round matches. This is a really interesting one. And one thing that, although the matches have not all delivered, I like that they are setting up matches that we hoped we would get, but thought, we could get this in the next round, but they're probably not going to do it. They are actually doing it in a lot of these cases, which I think is very cool. So first one being David Finlay against Evil.
Yeah.
Do you see that being significant? Are you expecting some sort of dramatic storyline development there?
I don't know about dramatic, but definitely a continuation of what they've already laid a foundation for. Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
Because Evil's made some ominous comments about biting the hand that feeds. So it feels like they're sort of setting the table for some sort of betrayal. Maybe one of the new War Dogs turning on Finlay and the War Dogs. I just think it would be extremely funny if it was Sanada again. If he betrays the War Dogs and then joins House of Torture, I'd be hooting and hollering if that happened.
Me too. By the way, we didn't mention Sanada's absolutely inappropriate shirt, by the way. Do you remember the shirt?
No, I was not really paying attention.
He wore the fucking shirt the entire match, and it said, what was it? Motherfucker? It was like, mother... Do you remember that?
No.
Oh my goodness gracious. He's wearing this fucking t-shirt, Joel, and it's like, motherfucker, it says. I mean, big, bold letters right across it. In orange, if I'm not mistaken. And then underneath, still a young lion. Again, in reference to all the troubles that he's had recently. I couldn't believe they let him out with that. I mean, again, it's Japan and it's English and maybe they're not, you know, but I was just like, wow. I mean, is there a worse English curse word than motherfucker? Like, you could put fuck.
Well, look, WWE, the family-friendly company, let Cody Rhodes say the fuck word in front of a stadium full of children, so.
True, but motherfucker? motherfucker is you're reaching top tier curse word, right?
Yeah, well, I'm saving curse word power rankings for a Patreon episode.
But... okay, it's good. But yeah, I feel like it's high up there on a fucking list. Yeah, that t-shirt was nuts. Yes, this will be a continuation. How great it will be, whatever. We've been saying there's going to be Bullet Club Civil War nonsense for how many years? We get little glimpses of it. You get little tastes of it. But I feel like this is like, yeah, this is set in stone that something's up. And... I wouldn't be surprised if it's a House of Torture beatdown on David Finlay. I would not be surprised at that at all.
I want some lines in the sand drawn. I want a bit of clarity on, especially all the guys who are kind of stuck in the middle, like what's happening with the OG Bullet Club guy.
Jeff Jarrett?
I want something to happen. No, Cody Hall.
Oh my God, Cody Hall. What a fucking name you just pulled out. Yeah, I'd like to know what's up with Cody.
And Frankie Kazarian, where does the line is like?
Cody, that catches that moonsault, gets hurt, and fucking downhill. Cody Hall, wow, goddamn!
Yeah, give me a winner for Finlay against Evil.
Evil will win, and a beatdown will. Well, you know what? If he does, no, it'll be a beatdown. I'll go on Evil.
I'll go Finlay then. We've got Yoshihashi versus Yuya Uemura. That feels like a pretty standard win for Yuya.
Yeah, I would think so. I would hope so.
And then Zack Sabre Jr. versus Oiwa. Senpai versus Kohai.
Yeah. That should be really good. That, I mean, seriously, if we're worried about first round New Japan Cup, that on paper, that's got greatness written all over it. So... okay, that'll be good. All right.
And then Wednesday in Ehime, how about this one? Taichi versus Gabe Kidd. Can't wait for that. I can't. I'm rubbing my hands together now. There's no way that's not going to be great.
Are you in any way, shape, or form concerned with Taichi? Only in the sense of he really hasn't been in a ton of high-profile matches in a long time.
Well, I've said before how I... perceive Taichi and the potential value he could bring to the company is very, very different to how the company perceives him. I just think they don't see the value there, and he would be better off joining a different company. And it makes me sad, but I've made peace with it. I'm not holding my breath waiting for the Taichi push to come because I don't think it is coming.
Okay. But you think he could still go?
Oh, absolutely. He could still go.
Okay. No concerns there. Yeah, that should be fun. If it is kind of like, you know what, it would be great. And again, we sit here and we praise Gabe Kidd a lot, but what would be great if we wind up on next Wednesday talking about Taichi and what a fucking number he did. That would warm my heart.
That's what he should be doing. That's why I wanted to see him doing this company, working with guys like Gabe Kidd more consistently. That's why I think he should be in tournaments like the G1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I 1,000%. I don't know why.
And he could get 4 points. Like, I'm not expecting him to have a positive record, but he's a quality wrestler. And I think this new generation of guys coming through would develop a lot and gain a lot from wrestling him.
1,000%. 1,000%. I think if I'm watching this match, and I will be, obviously, I'm rooting for Taichi to just fucking, you know, give us what he's got in the tank and show everyone what made him one of those guys that people look forward to seeing. That's what I would love. We know we got Gabe Kidd, you know, but I want Taichi to be the story of us talking about this match come Wednesday. I really am praying to the gods above, the pro wrestling gods, for that to happen.
And predict me a winner, please.
Gabe Kidd.
Yeah, me too. And we also have the intriguing matchup of Shota Umino against Great Okan. So a rematch of their New Beginning encounter. And we have not seen or heard, well, apart from a couple of, well, I think there was one tweet actually that just said Great Okan. But we have not seen Shota Umino since he shaved his head. So what are your hopes and what are your realistic expectations going into the rematch between Shota and Great Okan?
Great question. Wouldn't it be funny if he just walked out and he had the same exact bald patches from the, like, he didn't shave anything else. He just had that. He was wearing that for 2 weeks or longer.
It's exactly the same entrance. Go through the crowd, the same
right. Da, 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 right. Da, da, out. The fucking cardboard
head.
Yeah, it's stupid. Shave it all up, you dope. I don't know, but it's exciting. Like, I can't remember the last time I was this excited for the guy. Maybe it was Wrestle Kingdom, you know, just because of the opportunity that he had in front of him. Yeah, what's this new coat of paint going to look? Is there going to be a new coat of paint? Everyone's kind of expecting it. And what does that look like? Like what changes aesthetically do we expect? I'm going to be cautiously optimistic in that I don't think it's going to be something completely radical. Like, he's not coming out as, you know, this wild fucking change of character. I just don't see that. Now, will there be maybe some subtle changes? Maybe it's a I don't give a fuck attitude, and I'm not saying like Naito or anything, but like just a balls to the wall kind of mentality, maybe. I don't know. But I think that what he's had a little time, and I'm sure there has been conversations with the company of even before the Okan match of, okay, we're pressing reset, right? What is this going to look like? And I'm sure it's not, you know, I say that. I'm sure it's not going to be the same old him walking out of the curtain, but who knows with this fucking company sometimes. I think everyone's hoping for a complete refresh, a complete reset. But I caution people that, like, don't expect this extreme makeover where, you know, it's, you don't even recognize the fucking guy. I don't know if that's happening. I don't think that's happening. I think the change that you'll see might be a little bit more subtle than that.
And predict me a winner, because I think this is an interesting one that it might, a lot of people think he's going to run deep into this tournament and that there's a non-zero chance of him actually winning the whole thing. But it would feel weird for him to lose to Okan again, wouldn't it?
It would. But I will say this. Like, then the company's making the same fucking mistake they made before.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to shave his head a little bit and then step on the gas again? Like, that's not what people want. Let's see if this works first. I think he wins. I don't know about going super duper deep. Let's play it out. Let's see how this reemergence works before we start fucking giving him, you know, world title reigns. I think the company would be absolutely fucking foolish to think that just that little moment is enough to make people forget about how they felt, you know. And I don't think the company would do that. I hope not, because again, they would be making the same fucking mistake again.
Right. Then one other thing I wanted to touch base on was, and again, we will record again before we preview this, but they announced that there'll be a title match, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, next Saturday on the Aichi show, with Hiroki Goto defending against Yuji Nagata. And Tetsuya Naito had some comments about this. He's basically saying, well, what's this all about? You know, we're all entering the New Japan Cup to have a crack at the champion, and now a guy who was considered not even good enough to make the field is getting a world title match.
Yeah, because they're buddies. I mean,
okay, yeah, that's fair.
I mean, really, that's it. I mean, isn't it? Like, isn't it yeah. Like, you know, I washed your feet as a young boy. You know? That's really what it is.
Bleached your anus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why did I say that? Why have I gone down that path?
I don't know. I feel like that's disrespectful to the dojo system, and I will be writing a letter of complaint.
Yeah, I deeply apologize for my actions. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's all right.
Okay, let's rewind then and just briefly touch on the anniversary event. I just want to know what your thoughts were on that show overall, because I've heard a few people get quite upset about it, saying it was rubbish, particularly upset about the multi-man tag matches in the middle of the show, which, like, come on. You've not been watching New Japan Pro Wrestling for the past, you know, 20 years? That's It's what they do, isn't it? That the multi-man tags are there so the people there live can see their favourite wrestlers and they can set up future matches. I didn't have a problem with the show. I thought it was quite a good show by anniversary event standards. Did you have the same experience, or were you vomiting with rage at the lack of clean finishes and work rate classics in matches 2-5 on the undercard?
Yeah. The undercard was the undercard. You know, it was like on paper.
It was a New Japan Pro Wrestling Show undercard, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Now, if you went into it looking at those matches thinking you were going to see some fucking barn burners, well, okay.
Who wasn't looking at Taka Michinoku Taichi and Yuya Uemura against Gedo, Taiji, Shimori, and Sanada expecting snowflakes all over the shop?
Yeah. Well, not me. That's for goddamn sure. But
I see Hiromu, Shingo, Naito, and Tsuji against Dick Togo, Sho, Yujiro, and Evil, I'm getting the notebook out already. I'm getting the pen out ready to write it down because that's how high my expectations are.
Yeah. I mean, like, for the 750,000th time, yes, they're going to knock it out of the park again. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. That's fine. Here's the thing. I think the majority of people were going into that show based off of two matches, you know, the junior heavyweight title match and the idea. And I don't even think people were thinking that this was going to be, you know, an all-time classic match. You know, we know what we have right now with Hiroshi Tanahashi. We know what we have right now with Hirooki Goto. And it's not like both are equally awful. Like, none of them are awful. All four. I thought let's put it this way. I think the junior title match was better than the world title match, but I didn't hate the world title match. But my expectations were mid. You know, like if we can have some cool exchanges and we can have some great, you know, smart pro wrestling from two fucking guys who know how to put on smart pro wrestling matches, then I feel like I got my money's worth. And I think the junior title match was the match of the show and the match that people, if you're going back to watch, that's probably the match most people would say they liked the most, and rightfully so, because I'm in that camp too. But I mean, overall, the show was, you know, a two match show, I should say. Reverse that. Stop. Flip it. And I think if you were looking for other things, then you were going in with a great attitude and a optimistic attitude. But I think the show delivered what we all thought it was. Two really good matches on paper. That I think delivered at certain rates. It wasn't an all-time classic, what you would expect for a heavyweight title defense. No, but I think the people were into it. I think the people had, you know, an emotional investment in it. And I thought the junior match they did as well. And also you saw some pretty great fucking pro wrestling. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I'm not going to go match by match because, like I said, there's a bonus Patreon episode for $10 subscribers where I elaborated on that. But I thought the main event, the Tanahashi Goto match, over-delivered. My expectations were quite low given Tanahashi's performance against Makabe. I'm not with the people who are saying it's like a match of the year candidate. I don't think it was at that level, but it was more than the sum of its parts. And I thought Tanahashi did well to sort of dial it back, keep it simple, and lean into the emotion rather than going for anything too cute. And I thought the match was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And the more notable thing was the fact that afterwards they merged Hontai and Chaos, and Goto's the new leader of those. So We had a question from that. Bray says, what would be your sitcom name for Hontai? Everybody loves Hontai. How I Met Your Hontai, Big Bang Hontai, 30 Hontai, or Peaky Hontai? And yeah, I just wondered what you think of the significance of that. Was that something that shocked you or you thought was particularly notable, or was it something that, I mean, well, effectively, they'd already been doing that anyway. There was already an alliance between the two. But I felt that there is significance in anointing Goto as the leader of that faction.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all the factions, and here we are with faction talk, but of all the factions in New Japan Pro Wrestling, those were probably the two that were on life support and have been for quite a while. And, you know, we've always heard from people within the company that Chaos was probably on its, you know, last legs anyway. A merger, and it's probably the right thing to do. It's probably the only thing they could do. And Goto, obviously, being the world champion, he would be the leader. That's not a shock. Look, does anybody get super excited about Chaos at this point? Or, you know, any faction other than House of Torture and War Dogs and TMDK? And, you know, I think those are like the focal points when it comes faction wise. If we're making it official of a merger, then yeah, cool. Right. Oh, we made it official. Okay, good. But like, I don't think anybody's, you know, like, oh my God, the ramifications of this will be felt throughout the pro wrestling. No, absolutely not.
You touched on it. The Despy Akira match. Excellent. Really, really good. They've had great matches before. This was right up to that level, and I can see this as sort of an acid test for Akira and proof of concept that he is a guy that they could strap the rocket to. I don't know if I strap the rocket to, but definitely worthy of a run at the top, whether that is a best of the Super Juniors win or a run with the junior title itself, but there's definitely a lot of potential there, I think.
No doubt. And what was really nice was, even though, we're going into this match with, okay, let's see what you got. You know, let's see if you can deliver again. There were times where I thought, oh, they're gonna fucking flip this title. Like, he is gonna get that run right now. They didn't, and that's fine, but. It's nice to know that you have capable people that you can lean on and go to if, in fact, you decided to make that move. You're not overly reliant on junior heavyweights that might have outlived their welcome, right? I mean, how many times can you go to the bank? And even though, you know, he's had moments rather recently that have been very good, but you know, how many times can you go to the bank with Ishimori? How many times can you go to the bank with, you know, the same old, same old? And it's good that you could lean on someone else in a big spot if and when you decide to, that can kind of slide into that position. And you got Despy, who by all means should be and is the bar that is set. But I really think they really want, and I don't know what his status is right now, but I would think that they're kind of just treading water a little bit when it comes to bringing back Doki and having that rematch and having that fun, that be the what they're eventually going to go to. I don't know how long they can stall. Again, I don't know how long he's still on the shelf for, but I would think that that's what they're leaning toward.
Yeah, and I think Despy is the perfect guy to lead us to sort of bridge that gap between the sort of Hiromu, Ishimori, Despy era to getting it to the guys like Doki and Watto and Fujita and Akira. So he is going to be the guy that all those names I've just mentioned have to try and take down. So yep. I think it's just been really smartly put. I'm very excited. Let's talk about the opening match, the NJPW World TV Championship match, Open Challenge, where El Phantasmo beat Master Watto. I mean, the match was fine. I thought it was a very generous performance from ELP, gave Watto a lot. But I think what's more interesting is who it wasn't, because, let's be honest.
Once here, again, fucked over, Joel.
Well, no, several people in the company have told us that the plan at some point was for Baron Corbin, Bishop Dyer to be in the New Japan Cup field.
Yes.
And I don't think that, you know, it wasn't a lie, and we won't give a bad information. I think what's clearly happened here is that there were some people in the company who wanted that to happen, and then some people in the company who pushed back on that and didn't want that to happen, and the people who didn't want it to happen appear to have won. So I think it would be burying the lead to just say, it was wrong, because I think that would be missing what I think is quite an intriguing backstage struggle and what it means for the future of the company, especially considering what they did last year with guys like Nick Nemeth and Matt Riddle, and sort of learning from those mistakes, because it feels like there was a clear change in direction here. We don't know what the reasons were, but I do believe that at one point he was going to appear in New Japan, and then that plan changed. Now, that's not to say he won't appear ever again in future. He might, but there's been a change of plans here, right?
And you would know, because you have been the pulse of our Discord. I don't think there's anyone that was visibly or audibly upset over that decision. I personally don't think he's a good fit. I have no desire to see him in the New Japan ring. But, it did. And he still might. Let's put it that way. He still might. Let's put it this way. If you're in the camp of, well, the Super J-Cast was wrong, and I have a folder of wrong things that now includes one, fine. I'll take that big fat fucking L. You can put it on. You can put it right on my shoulder. I'll carry that fucking burden. I'll carry that. I'm glad I'm wrong. I'm totally thrilled that I'm wrong. And it hasn't happened yet. And again, it still might, but nobody's crying over this one. That's for fucking
sure. You can do it on Strong. Go let him wrestle Mustafa Ali or Leo Rush or something.
Right. Exactly. Fine. There's plenty of room there.
Yeah. Go play with Fred Rosso. All right. Any thoughts on Fantastic-O-Mania? Did you watch any of it?
I did. Once again, I think that if you like professional wrestling, and you're into various styles and various pro wrestling from all over the country and all over the world, then this is a show right up your alley. Because I thought the actual in-ring pro wrestling was really fucking good. Now, that's like me saying, I went to a K-pop concert and I thought it was really good. Am I going to go and now download every fucking J-Hope song? That, guess where I'm going this fucking week? No, I probably won't. Now, that's not to say that when I leave that show and I see the smile on my wife's face and that she had a great time, she sang along with every fucking song, and some of the songs were good. Yep, I'm all for that. Sign me the fuck up. That's what I kind of felt like here, where I don't necessarily think that this is for me. And Fantastic-O-Mania, I say it every fucking year. Splice it, cut it up, play it every fucking year. The show was really good. The pro wrestling was fucking really good. Their energy was really good. I don't know if it's for me. It's probably not. And that's okay. But
once a year, it's nice though, isn't it?
It is. What's correct.
Something a bit different, seeing some different right. names, different styles.
Yep. I don't have to listen to fucking Joy Division 24/7, right? Maybe I can throw in a K-pop every once in a while. And that's exactly what this was, to me anyway. Outstanding, fun. And like I said, would I say this was a show of the year contender? For me, no. But I think it was an outstanding show. How's that?
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed the first match with a Ryder and Max Star was great. And then the top three of Cavanaro, Hechicero, Mascara Dorada, and Soberano. And my favorite is actually the main event, the Mystico Averno match.
Yeah.
I just found that really absorbing for some reason. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did, but yeah, I thought that was really great. So if you've not seen it, check them out. It's a really fun watch, top to bottom. Good show.
Yep. If you're anything like me, I would tell you watch it, because the wrestling, the level of wrestling, while again, is it the style that we're accustomed to and the style that we kind of gravitate toward? Maybe not, but there are elements of it in there. Lots of elements, to be quite honest. And then add like some crazy fucking shit, you know, when it comes to pro wrestling. And here's the thing too, they always deliver. I don't care if I've seen, I basically saw a facsimile of that match in Philadelphia during WrestleMania weekend. And it was pretty great. And I think the version that I saw was probably at least a level or two below what was on this Fantastic Amazing show. So, yeah, go out of your way. I would say go out of your way to watch it. And maybe, you know, you become a fan of it. I would say that. I would say that, like, if I'm going to say, okay, if somebody were like, I know you like pro wrestling. What do you know about Lucha? And I'm going to say, well, not a lot, but here's what I know. And if you're into it, there's a recent show that you definitely want to check out. And I would point him in that direction.
All right, let's make like Chase Owens pants and split.
That's terrible. Goodbye.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.